will the Patriots do without him? Chris Price from WEEI in New England joins us now. Chris, how are you?
Not bad. How are you doing this afternoon?
Well, Chris, I'm good. Now, I know you are in attendance, but you're obviously wise enough not to ask Bill Belichick numerous times, well, what if Jimmy Garoppolo plays well for the first four games? What happens? It was, man, I laughed at that question. But how has Garoppolo looked? Because, you know, being a backup quarterback, when you really don't ever get to play, no one knows how good he can be. I think Garoppolo's not showcasing himself for Belichick. He's showcasing himself for the rest of the league in the first month of the season.
I think there's something to that. I think, look, even after, and I wrote this today for WEEI.com, even after seeing him in action over the course of, I don't know how many training camp practices and however, two-plus preseason games, I don't think we know anything more about him now than what we did at the start of the summer. I think that, you know, at the start of the summer, he was going to be a pretty good backup, a good kind of get-you-over guy who can come in and work hard and, you know, pay attention to the system and show a, you know, pretty good understanding of the offense. But when it comes to, when it comes to being able to run the offense in a game situation, we just don't know. We just don't know where he is. We just don't know, you know, what he's capable of at this point. So it's going to be interesting to see. That's basically my long-winded version of saying it's going to be interesting to see the way it all kind of shakes out over the course of the next month.
So knowing Bill Belichick, I don't think they change their offensive package. Obviously, maybe they shrink it for him compared to what Brady would use coming in. Although he's been his understudy for 4 years, do you think their playbook will be as wide open as it would be with Brady, or do they shrink it for Garoppolo?
No, they're going to shrink it for Garoppolo, and they're going to do some things to kind of tweak it. You know, I mean, he's not going to have access to all, you know, 500 pages or whatever it is of the New England playbook. They're going to be able to do some different things, and they're going to kind of narrow the responsibilities a little bit. I think that there are things that he does that Brady does not do particularly well. Most notably, he's able to move in the pocket a little bit better. He's a little bit faster. He's a little bit more mobile. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots maybe try and get him on the run a little bit more, maybe create some movable pockets to kind of play to his strengths a little bit. He also throws, quite frankly, a better deep ball, and I wonder if that's going to be reflected in some of their cutdown decisions that have to come this weekend. So, again, I don't think that they're going to try and replicate the offense that they have under Brady. I think they're going to tweak it a little bit. They're going to do a little bit better job maybe playing to Garoppolo's strengths as opposed to what Brady can do.
We're joined by Chris Price from WEEI in New England, taking a look at the Patriots. A lot of people in the media have been comparing the first four games of the Patriots season coming up to, I guess, the last 15 games of the 2008 season when Brady went down and Matt Castle had to slide in. On paper, without Tom Brady, are the 2016 Patriots better than that group that went 11-5 in 2008?
Boy, that's a good question. I think the difference here, too, and this is really important to remember when you make it Matt Castle comparison, Castle started really slowly and built to a really strong finish. I don't think that Garoppolo is going to be able to have that luxury of kind of starting slowly. He's got more of a compacted time frame. He's looking at a situation where obviously he has to jump right in week one and be really, really good against one of the best defenses in the National Football League in the Arizona Cardinals. I think that there's some comparisons to be made, and I think when you look at what he was able to do for the most part over the course of the preseason, sets up pretty nicely. I think that, you know, what he needs to do is be a good game manager. He needs to be able to take care of the football. He needs to be able to not turn it over. He needs to be able to rely on his offensive difference makers around him, most notably Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Martellus Bennett, Garrett Blunt, those kinds of guys. And then ultimately, he has to do a really good job taking advantage of some of those short fields that a really good defense and a really good special teams can provide. They can't settle for 3 points, say, in the red zone if they're able to get a sack and a fumble and they're set up with a really good field position. They need to punch those things in for 7 as opposed to settling for 3. So it's kind of a cliche, but really what he needs to do is he needs to be a good game manager. He needs to make sure that the whole thing doesn't just kind of drive it, you know, it didn't drive the whole thing into a ditch basically before it's all done.
The Patriots did not have a first round pick in the 2016 entry draft, but in the second round they went with cornerback Cyrus Jones out of Alabama. How's he looked in training camp, and will there be a spot for him on the opening day lineup, and can he contribute right away?
Cyrus Jones is going to be the third cornerback on this team. I think that he's proved himself throughout the spring and the summer sessions to be NFL ready. I think that he alongside Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler. They're going to comprise those three cornerbacks. New England plays base defense more than anything, and so they're going to go the three cornerbacks, two safeties, and those are your guys. I think the other thing to keep in mind about Cyrus Jones is he had four punt returns for touchdowns last year at Alabama. Patriots already have a pretty good punt returner in Julian Edelman. I think they would love to be able to take some of that off of Edelman's plate sooner rather than later. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be the primary punt returner in week one, but I think by the end of the season, you're going to see Cyrus Jones play a ton of snaps as a third corner, as well as work as the primary punt returner for the Patriots.
Chris Price joins us from WEEI in New England, breaking down the New England Patriots. Up front, you know what, outside of Brady, they've got a few other guys banged up. Deion Lewis, of course, he's out for at least, it looks like, 6 to 8, maybe 10 weeks. So LeGarrette Blount will start the season. How often do you expect them to go with the double tight end set? And we know that Gronkowski is going to get a lot of balls, but could Martellus Bennett get as many balls as Aaron Hernandez did when him and Gronkowski were both going well?
I don't think so, just because the offense in 2011 is a little bit different than it was now or is now. I think a reasonable level of expectation for Martellus Bennett is between 50 and 60 catches, maybe 65 if you're talking about a high-end possibility. But I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end sets on the field, because that is the strength, without a doubt, of the Patriots' passing game. They have some good receivers, and they have a couple of good pass-catching backs, especially when Deion Lewis comes back. But you want to do everything you can to keep those two guys, Bennett and Gronkowski, on the field together for as long as possible. If they stay healthy over the course of the full 16-game season, they will be able to break the record for tight end production in a season that was set by the 2011 combo of Hernandez and Gronkowski. I firmly believe that.
Interesting. Okay. Now, the receiving core, how banged up are they top to bottom? And once you get past Edelman, there doesn't seem like there's a lot of proven guys there. If Amendola, if his health's a concern.
Yeah, the guy who really is the wild card, I'll give you two wild cards at this point at the wide receiver spot. First of all, Chris Hogan, just because he's a new face on the roster. He's played really well throughout the spring and into the summer. Done a really good job, in my mind, of replacing what Brandon LaFell gave them for the last year plus. That is kind of that X receiver, kind of that guy who does well on those intermediate routes. He's still new with Brady, so he's still developing that relationship, but I believe he's going to be an important contributor before it's all done. Then the other thing is, and I still don't know if this guy's going to make it through to the final 53, but Aaron Dobson offers them a unique skill set in that he is a home run hitter. Now, granted, he doesn't hit a lot of home runs, at least over the course of the last couple of years, but he is the only legit deep threat on that roster. It's questionable whether or not they need someone like that when they're at full strength and they have Gronkowski and Edelman and Lewis and Amendola and Bennett and all those guys. But I think Dobson represents something different when you're stacking him against some of the other receivers on the team. I think he has a really good chance to make it through to the final 53 as a result.
Chris Price from WEEI joins us. Chris, on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of those coordinators from that Bill Belichick has had throughout his career, they usually get poached by other teams and organizations. But Matt Patricia has been with the Patriots for now 12 years, and I read he interviewed for that Cleveland Browns position, didn't eventually get it. But is it starting to look like the end of the line for some of these longtime Bill Belichick coordinators? Could they be moving on to bigger and better things after this season?
Well, I think Patricia has a really good chance to be a head coach somewhere after this year, particularly the way the defense has played the last 2 years. 2014 had one of the best defenses in the league. 2015 had one of the best defenses in the league. And there's no reason to think, provided everybody stays healthy, that it won't be the case again this year. Look, he gets what I call that Patriots cologne on him a little bit, just because he's been associated with Belichick for such a long time. And we up here in New England tend to blame him when things go wrong, and then when things go right, we tend to credit Belichick, not Patricia. Patricia's grown into a very important part of that front office, that coaching staff, and I believe, again, that this is going to be a defense to be reckoned with in 2016, and as a result, Matt Patricia will get head coaching offers, at least interviews. I'm not sure about offers, but he will get interviews for head coaching jobs before 2016-2017 season is done.
Chris Price joins us. Chris, what's the expectations? 2-2 without Brady, 3-1, 1-3?
I think even the most optimistic Patriots fan, you sit there and say they take 3-1 because that season opener in Arizona against the Cardinals, that's going to be dicey no matter how you slice it. I think that even if you have Brady for that game, that would still be a bit of a toss-up. But then you come home, you face the Bills, the Texans, and the Dolphins, three teams you've handled very easily over the course of the last dozen or so years, particularly in Foxborough. And I think you could look at it and make a real case for 3-1, maybe 2-2 if something happens to Garoppolo. Let's say in that Bills game, the Bills have done a really good job. Not a really good job, but the Bills have done a better job than most when it comes to maybe surprising the Patriots early in the season. And they may be able to throw a wrinkle or two. Rex and his crew might be able to throw a wrinkle or two at Garoppolo that he might not necessarily be ready for. So if they're going to lose one of those three home games, chances are it's going to be that Buffalo game, at least in my opinion. But, yeah, if you're an optimistic Patriots fan, you take 3-1, and then you have Brady come back. And quite frankly, if that's the case, this team to me looks like a 13-3, 12-4 bunch that at absolutely worst is a Final Four team that gets to the conference finals.
Now, with Brady on suspension, is he even allowed to practice once the regular season starts?
No, he's got to be out of the facility, as a matter of fact, by either noon or 4 tomorrow.
Okay.
He cannot return. He can't work out with any of his teammates. He can't, you know, set foot on the stadium grounds. He can't receive any game film. He can't have any contact with, the members of the support staff, whatever. He's got to be completely, out of sight, out of mind until the week 5, until preparations start for that week 5 game against the Browns.
So what's he going to do in the meantime?
Well, there are a couple of different stories. First of all, we know that we found this out the other day, he's going to be the honorary captain for the Michigan-Colorado game. I believe it's in week 3 in Ann Arbor. So we know he's going to be there. Supposedly he's going to spend some time out west, maybe with family. But the other great rumor, and I have no idea if it's true, but it's a fantastic rumor that's too good to pass up, is he's got Randy Moss on the phone. He's got Wes Welker on the phone, and they're going to come over to his house in Brooklyn here outside of Boston and throw with him and work out with him while he's on the sideline. So, again, I have no way of knowing if that's true. No one's been able to comment on it, but it's too good to pass up.
Randy Moss and Wes Welker just to come in. Hey, stay with me. I'll put you up for the few weeks, and we're going to throw.
Yeah, we're going to run some routes. We're going to throw. You guys know the offense. You guys know the responsibilities of the pass catchers. I'll put you up in my place here for a week or so, and we'll throw, we'll stay in shape, and we'll have a lot of fun doing it.
Well, it makes sense because, he's going to have to throw somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's going to have to keep in shape, and he's got a huge gym. And, I mean, he's got, all sorts of facilities. He's got, his own personal quarterback guy in Tom House that he spends the offseason with. I have to imagine he's going to, check in with him at some point. So, yeah, it's not going to be sitting on the couch, watching The Bachelorette, eating potato chips.
And, Chris, that last one for me anyways, week 5, Tom Brady returns against the Cleveland Browns. How many touchdowns do you think Brady can throw against Cleveland? I know a lot of football to be played, but are Browns fans already nervous about week 5?
Yeah, I think the over-under, I saw the over-under somewhere the other day, it was like 4.5. That's going to be a lot of fun. It really will, because, he's not the Tom Brady. We always talk about how, Tom Brady is going to exact his revenge on the league for what happened. And, he's not, say, the Tom Brady of 10 or so years ago. But the really interesting thing, when you talk to guys in that locker room, and this was the case 2 years ago when he struggled out of the gate in that horrible Kansas City loss, guys want to rally to him. He has pulled that franchise out of the fire on so many occasions with so many great comebacks and whatnot. There are a lot of guys in that locker room who are already starting to say, look, I want to make a play for my quarterback. I want to show him. I want to step up. I want to show the world that he can still be Tom Brady. Guys like Gronkowski and Edelman and Amendola, they have a fierce sense of loyalty to the quarterback, and it's going to be interesting to see how they respond come week 5 against Cleveland.
Chris, really appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care.